When it comes to retail therapy, not all purchases are equally satisfying. Shopping for a fresh set of bed linens in the perfect shade, that is fun. Replacing the washing machine that's unexpectedly carked it, less fun. When a household appliance gives out, many of us would much rather get it fixed than shell out for a completely new one. But for whatever reason, and whether it's software that becomes outdated or a product that is literally built to prevent maintenance, it seems impossible. Around the world, there's a growing chorus of voices fighting for what's called the right to repair. And they've had some big wins recently, especially in the automotive and agricultural industries. But tech giants in the US are pushing back against this movement because they argue it presents privacy and security risks. So should companies be required to make sure their customers can use the products they buy for as long as possible? And is people power enough to force the change? Well, you're about to hear from two people at the heart of the right to repair movement in Australia, but I'd also love to know if you've fought for this. Is there an item in your house that you've managed to repair and hold on to for years? I want to hear about your make, do and mend project at home. Bonus points for the most complicated thing that you've managed to maintain and keep going. With me is Professor Leanne Wiseman, who is an Australian Research Council Future Fellow, examining the role of intellectual property law in the right to repair movement. She also chairs the Australian Repair Network. Leanne, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you have something that you have been keeping going at your house?
I have many things that I have been keeping going in my house. I've had this wonderful, beautiful old lamp rewired by one of the beautiful community repairers. I've had my washing machine repaired and my fridge repaired. So I try where I can, but as you've said, it's really difficult in Australia at the moment.
When we talk about the right to repair products, what kind of things are stopping us from doing that most of the time?
Well, there's a range of reasons. In terms of the right to repair is all about giving us the ability to either have access to the repair tools and information we need and the spare parts, but also be able to take it to an independent repairer rather than go back to manufacturers. So the reasons we can't repair, as you said, it's often poor design. They design products in a way now that doesn't allow swapping out parts. Or then there's the IP. As you've mentioned, the software in the device, that once that goes, we can't really open the device. We have to go back to the manufacturer, and that's the case with cars and tractors. But there's also just a whole range of expense. We don't have enough skilled repairers out there. It's not affordable or accessible at the moment.
This is a movement you've been part of for quite a long time now. Like, tell me about the sort of evolution of it over the last few years.
Well, I've been working on the right to repair for almost for 10 years, starting in agriculture. And what we've seen is around the world, the right to repair movement has made really major inroads, particularly in the United States. Every one of the 50 states in the United States has right to repair bills. There's been several pieces of legislation passed in the United States. Colorado is the most progressive with wheelchair repair, agricultural machinery repair, as well as digital goods. And even in Europe, they've just last year passed a right to repair directive addressing consumer goods in the home. So this theme of keeping our products in use for longer is really the resilience factor that we need here in Australia, particularly in this cost of living crisis that we're all experiencing.
What is the landscape in Australia in terms of legislation or will to do it?
Well, there's a lot of groundswell for support for the right to repair. We've had a stop-start journey. In 2021, we had the Productivity Commission do a fantastic and really a world-leading report on an examination of the barriers into repair in Australia. And they identified strengthening our consumer laws was necessary around manufacturer warranties and our consumer guarantees, reform to our IP laws, but also strengthening design regulation in Australia. So there's a multitude of things that we could be doing, and we've got all the recommendations sitting with our government. But in Australia, we only have, which is our first right to repair law in the automotive industry, a mandated data sharing law, which is fantastic because it allows your local garage down the road to get access to the diagnostic information that you need to fix the cars and not have to go back to the manufacturer.
While we're waiting for the law to catch up, part of the solution is the growing network of repair cafes. Leanne mentioned one before. They're spaces where people can get access to the tools and skills and specialists that are needed to extend the life of their products. With me is Andrew Cleary, who oversees electrical repairs at the Bower in Sydney, which is one of Australia's first ever dedicated repair cafes. Andrew, what have you been working on in the repair cafe recently?
Oh, hey, Tegan. We work on all sorts of small home electrical appliances. A lot of lamps is a big feature on our repair circuit, which is generally we're luckily answered with rewire, full rewire, switches, plugs. We get a great success rate with those. But we also see small kitchen appliances as well, like blenders, toasters, vacuum cleaners. The odd microwave comes in. We get a varied amount of different appliances.
That sounds interesting. I think there's this idea of wanting to make do and mend at home, but when we're talking about electrical things, it probably is better to bring them to an electrician like yourself, Andrew.
Yeah, definitely. And look, that's especially once you're on the 240 side of the appliance, there's obviously regulations there around licensing and who can repair that or play with that for obvious safety reasons. But we do get people doing small electrical projects at home or custom lights or things that they come in and they just get a bit of a hand. We run guided repairs. So I actually put the tools in the client's hands and just work beside them and guide them. So yeah, it's not a drop and run situation. It's a stay and learn and chat, which also helps me and the volunteers I work with problem solve and work out what's wrong with it. It's really hard just to fly blind and repair something without some background of what went wrong.
Fair enough.
Or where the smoke came from, as commonly it might be.
Where the smell's coming from. This is Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Andrew Cleary from Sydney Repair Centre, the Bower, and Professor Leanne Wiseman, Chair of the Australian Repair Network and Researcher at Griffith University, about the idea of a right to repair. There's moves towards legislation in the United States. Could it happen here? Should it happen here? Leanne gave us a bit of the lie of the land before, but I really want to know what you've managed to keep going at your house. Plenty of bragging on the text line. Louise says, I kept an old Hoover washing machine going for 37 years. It had a stainless steel drum, not plastic like the modern ones. Same with a Dishlex dishwasher. Well-made products last. Teresa says, we've had a vacuum pet carpet cleaner for around 15 years. Every part is available for repair with instructions for easy installation. Teresa says, 3 cheers for designing products that can be easily fixed. And Kim says, I have my mother's Sunbeam Mixmaster. It is older than me. Mum used to make recipes for newspaper articles. I've had it repaired at a place in Oxley twice, new regulator and new power cord. It still fills my kitchen with the smells I remember from when she would make chocolate chip cookies. Great excitement. It was built to last, so it is repairable, although parts are becoming harder to get. There's a real theme in those texts, Leanne, this idea of things that are built to last and things that are built to be repaired, which is not the case with so many modern products.
That's so true. And this is all comes down to the design. It used to be the case when your fridge, if something went wrong, you could literally take out the part and swap in a new one. Obviously, the way products are made cheaply, they're being imported in some cases. So what we're seeing is not only are the spare parts not available, but you are physically not able to swap out a spare part. And sometimes that is just a physical barrier, but other times it's because the fridges are so smart now. Some fridges are $4,000 to $6,000 with televisions, etc. But if a simple seal goes or a part goes, you should be able to fix that. And that is really what people are asking for. You invest and own these goods, you should be able to keep them going.
Andrew, what sort of spread do you see of the things that people are bringing in terms of the things that are easy to repair and the things that seem to be built to resist repair?
The lamp, like I said before, that's where we get some good numbers for our repair rate. They're generally easy, pretty straightforward to rewire. Whereas opposed to a toaster, they're probably my worst. But it's evident they're all clipped together, bent clips holding it together, and no or very few replacement parts for the majority of the brands. But if you go higher in the price range, you do find one that's completely every part's replaceable. There's no intricate small electronics. It's all manual. It's a beautiful machine, and it's a perfect example of showing us how it can be done. But the majority, unfortunately, the toasters are not so repairable.
It's interesting you say that you go up in the price range and it gets more repairable. It feels a real like the rich get richer kind of situation.
It's a hard situation. When the cost of living's up so much and you want people to have accessibility to repairable appliances, but when you can walk into a store and buy one for less than the repair, it's hard to get that across the line, I guess.
Mm. Leanne, so there's a legislation piece, which is something that you've said we've been pushing for. It seems to me that there also needs to be a cultural change in manufacturing and the companies being on board.
Yes, certainly. And what we've seen overseas, and the UK, I can use an example, they passed a right to repair law that required all manufacturers selling product in their market had to provide spare parts and tools and information for 7 to 10 years, particularly if there were larger appliances. So what they saw is an exiting from that market of manufacturers who weren't doing that. So in Australia, we need that strength of regulation where if manufacturers come into the country to import product, they should supply service maintenance and repair services for those products so that we're not left abandoned with these products.
So there's a pretty big spectrum we're talking about here. On one hand, you've got a lamp, which I'm not an electrician, but I think there's like a single cord that goes into it. On the other hand, you have a smart fridge or a computer or some sort of really complicated technical thing. I know that in the US, the tech companies have been arguing that there's privacy and security risks. Are they completely without merit?
No, look, there are a number of arguments that manufacturers that have used. They say you'll steal our IP. We've heard that one. Privacy, security, and safety are the big arguments. What's happening in Colorado, it's a really push from Silicon Valley, the tech firms, particularly IBM and Cisco. They're saying they're trying to claw back the existing right to repair laws, saying any IT equipment in critical infrastructure should be exempted. Now, that just suggests that in critical infrastructure, we think of, for food security, it's tractors, motor vehicles. We think of medical devices and equipment in our hospitals. They're all critical. If you exempt IT equipment from the right to repair, then the biomeds in our hospitals in times of crisis like COVID won't be able to service or repair or maintain those equipment. So this is really a bit of a bogus claim trying to for them to maintain control of what we call the aftermarket. They get a lot of money from maintaining tight control over the service and repair market. And the class action in agriculture in the United States as well with John Deere, we just saw them pay out $99 million for the fact that they've been refusing to share the information to independent repairers and farmers.
There's a text here saying, Judy says, I'm listening to you on my rescued old analog radio that's made workable thanks to gaffer tape. Look, whatever it takes to repair your products, Judy, that sounds good to me. Leanne, what do you see as the long-term answer here?
Australia needs to catch up with the rest of the world. We need to regulate more strongly what comes into our country in terms of quality of product and support for those products. We could have a repair label like most other countries are introducing now to help consumers know which products are better to buy. As you say, if you spend $5 or $10 more, you may have something that can be repaired. But it's also a big part of consumer and behaviour change that we need to really stop the focus on recycling. We know that e-waste generation is far outstripping our rates of a success with recycling. So the federal government is heavily investing in recycling still after 30 years. We need to move up the waste hierarchy and focus and fund more repair and reuse initiatives so that we can keep our products in use for longer.
Leanne, Andrew, thank you both so much for joining me. Professor Leanne Wiseman is the chair of the Australian Repair Network and an Australian Research Council Future Fellow, currently examining the role of intellectual property law in the right to repair movement at Griffith University. Andrew Cleary oversees electrical repairs at the Bower in Sydney, one of Australia's first ever repair cafes, but by no means the only repair cafe. There's 100 plus around Australia. You can find the one near you.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.